I actually have some hesitation in bringing the message. We're talking about how the scripture may be profitable to us, how we can tell whether we're just reading, whether we've just, you know, been the Sunday school kid for so many years and all that, and it just washed over, and we know it was David that beat Goliath. We know all these things, but is it really making any difference in our life? And so we want to talk about how the scripture should be profitable concerning good works. You say, Pastor, why would you hesitate to talk about good works? Because that's about the only thing the other churches are talking about. Today we find that so much of what is being called Christian is a theistic do-goodism that talks about a Jesus and talks about God and maybe even sheds a tear about these things and then just encourages you to do better and do good and so on. And they bypassed the gospel. If all we needed was just some encouragement, some pep talk, we didn't need to get saved. We must have been okay. We just needed a teacher to show us the way. We just needed somebody to tell us we were doing a good job. That's all we needed. And Christ said, no, you're dying on your way to hell and you need to be saved. However, how can I not speak of good works when that is a great emphasis of the scripture? And once you understand that it is not you doing good works that pleases God, it's you pleasing God and then doing the good works. It is not you demonstrating that you love the Lord by your good works, but that by loving Him, your life is automatically changed into that channel of doing His way. When you learn to love as God has loved, in that self-sacrificing way, the good works are automatic. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, let's be perfected, throughly furnished unto all good works. Romans 4, 3 to 5 says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, that belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. It was not law works, but his faith. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. If I work a week and I get a paycheck, I don't say, what, for me? How nice of you. I count, you know, make sure all the numbers are right there. I worked for it. I earned it. I deserved it. So he says, if you can work for a thing, it's not God's grace. He owes you. But it's a matter of debt. But to him that worketh not and gets a paycheck, that's grace, you see. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. There's the seat, the root, the ground of our righteousness. James 2, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Through the ages, since these verses were written, men have swung back and forth between them, emphasizing one and denying the other. Our purpose, as always in the scripture, is to fully accept both and live both. The supposed controversy is reconciled by understanding that Paul speaks of how a man receives salvation. It's by faith alone. Anything plus that, and it's not grace anymore. James speaks of how a man shows his salvation. You know, what are you going to do? Just strain until you turn a certain color, and people say, yeah, that guy's saved. No question about it right there. I can see that. No, it is in the actions. If you have become, from whatever evil tree you were, if you become a wonderful fruit tree, you will show that how? By producing beautiful apples, you see, or whatever the fruit is. It is by works alone. It's the only way we can show these things. So if you've been saved by the grace of God through faith in the shed blood of Christ, then you must live a life that is demonstrating good works. This is the idea of being Christ-like. When Christ, after his life was over and was being referred to, he says he went about doing good. May it be said of us that where they could, when they had the ability, they went about doing good. I kind of like that kind of contemporary concept of random acts of kindness, you know. It's like people that used to drive by and shoot people randomly, you know, random acts of violence. Just random acts of kindness. I've told you before, I like having a smile at people that people don't smile at each other anymore. They're too suspicious of each other and all that. And you see them, you know, they come up and they're looking at you and so on. And you just give them a nice smile. Hi. And all of a sudden they go, oh, hi. I can say something nice to this person. I can say hi. How dark is it when a smile is received as a surprise? But Paul really, all in all, completely agreed with James. In Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. See, this is not about you, is it? This is about God. This is doing what God said, and what did he say? Love your neighbor as yourself. So that act of kindness, that act, this is obedience to God, though you are, in fact, showing love to men. He says, they need that. They need that. This is good and profitable unto men, for them to see that there is someone who is communicating good to them. The believer is profiting from the scriptures concerning good works when, number one, he is taught the true place of good works. Not the social gospel that doing good works is the gospel. That's not it. It's not the idea that this will earn you a place in heaven, that this will earn you a place of acceptance before God. Alexander Carson said, the same gospel that declares salvation to be freely given by the grace of God through faith in the blood of Christ also assures us that without holiness, no man shall see God. That believers' hearts are purified by faith, which works by love and overcomes the world. God's plan of salvation involves both our justification, the saving of our spirit, the God showing victory over the penalty of sin in our life, and sanctification. This is the salvation of our soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. This is the changing of our life into one of holiness. This is conquering the domination of sin over us. So we are saved from the penalty of sin in justification. We must continue being saved from the power of sin in sanctification, breaking loose of all of its ties. Romans 6:1-3, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that the way to do this? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We died, you see, on the cross with Christ. So we need to understand the true place of good works. This is saying thank you so much for what you've done for us. And we want to then just be faithful to do whatever you tell us to do. We're not going to invent good works. You invented what good means. And therefore, we need to follow what you say. And that will be our good works. The believer is profiting from the scriptures concerning good works when, number two, he is taught the absolute necessity of good works. This is not optional, you see. We must not deny one scriptural truth as we defend another. Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. This is true. There is no remission from sin except the shedding of blood, and Christ's blood alone saves us, the only way you get saved. However, Hebrews 12:14, follow peace. The word follow means to pursue, chase after. Follow peace with all men and holiness. That's the good works. That's the doing right things. Without which no man shall see the Lord. This is also true. We are saved by grace. We are also then to follow by our good works. There's no seeing the Lord except by exhibiting holiness. You picture the facts of salvation. We're saved by the grace of God, not at all by our human works. Once we are saved, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we are changed. If we are not changed, the Holy Spirit is not within us, and we are deceived about our salvation. This is the thing that you want to look at. This is what the scripture says. Brother Jeb said some time ago, the scripture has two ways of looking at this thing of our clearer salvation, and that is, from God's point of view, it's absolutely secure. From our point of view, we hope these people are saved. See, I can know that I'm saved. I can't know that you're saved. All I can do is to say, looks like it, seems like it. They have a good profession of faith. They act like they're saved. But what do I know? I just heard an illustration. A man said that in his own church, the chairman of the deacon board came forward. No reflection on Seth here. And said, I need to get saved. I had a guest speaker in. He says, I need to get saved. He said, you know what you're talking about? He says, oh, yeah. He says, I joined the church back in the beginning so that I have more people to talk to about life insurance. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to get saved. And I said, I know that. I'll do that pretty soon. And then, you know, he fit in pretty well. And pretty soon they asked him to be a deacon. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to get saved. And he said, well, I know that, but, you know, can't just be a deacon and go tell them, you crazy people just had an unsaved man as your deacon. He says, I can't slap him in the face like that. And then he became chairman of the deacon board. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to get saved. And he said, well, I will. He says, I can't do it now. They put their faith and trust in me and all this. And how could I do that? He says, tonight, the Holy Spirit said, one last chance. You need to get saved. He said, so I came, whatever the cost. How can one man know the heart of another man? First John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, in the ungodliness, we lie and do not the truth. We're self-deceived. 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, an example of bad works, is in darkness even until now, not saved. 1 John 2:11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. That's what happens when you walk in darkness, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Not saved. Not saved. So let us recognize that good works, while not the cause of things, is an absolute necessity in the showing of salvation to yourself. To yourself, if not to everyone else. The believer is profiting from the scriptures concerning good works when, number three, he is taught the purpose of good works. And there are many. We must not get caught up in the legalist idea of good works. Listen to several verses from Matthew 6, verse 2, 5, and 16. Christ is speaking, therefore, when thou dost thine alms, giving of your offerings, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. He says that's all they get, just the applause of men. Again, he talks about praying. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men, doing their works for men's sake. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, in this whole area of fasting. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. I'm barely making it. I haven't eaten breakfast, so I'm barely making it. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Christ explained it pretty clearly. We are to do the good works. We're not. He's not saying don't do these things. He's saying don't do it for the sake of men. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? You see how different this is? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. The fundamental design of a Christian's good works is to honor our God. See, the gospel is not you doing good works. The gospel is connecting you to the transcendent God. This is all about Him. And so your good works are a light of your testimony to shine on God. If the light that God has put within you is ever going to shine on men, you've got to do that shining with your good works. They have to see you in that light. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation, and this word, which would include what we call conversation, speaking with each other, is the word meaning entire lifestyle. Having your conversation, your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles. What does that mean? The Gentiles here does not mean people that are not Jews. It means unsaved Gentiles. He's talking to some Gentiles. And he says, so you're among them all the time. You know that they're not believers. They have, their way of doing things and so on. He says, make sure your life is honest in front of these people, these unsaved people, that for this purpose, whereas they speak against you as evildoers. You hear this today? Christians are the bad guys? They may, by your good works, your conversation being honest, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Unfortunately, some of them will never be saved, especially those who are already calling you evil because you're a Christian. But in the day of judgment, they will say, you're right, God. I knew I was wrong, and I knew they were right because I saw their good works. Now I am condemned forever. But God, you are righteous because I had the choice. The believer is profiting from the scriptures concerning good works when, number four, he is taught the true nature of good works. Left to ourselves, we don't know what is a good work. Think of the Apostle Paul. Before his salvation, he felt that he was serving his God by persecuting Christians, trying to stamp out that church, people of the way. God said, no, you're persecuting Christ, my son. Think of Muslims who think their prayers to Allah are a good work. They're praying. God says they are praying to idols, a made-up God. Listen to Isaiah 44:17. And the residue thereof, he makes a chair out of a piece of wood, makes a bowl out of a piece of wood, and with what's remaining of it, he makes a god, even his graven image. Then he falleth down unto it and worshipeth, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Isaiah says, can you imagine anything so ridiculous? This is not God making man, this is man making gods. And then saying, oh, my dear omnipotent God. You see, this man thought he was doing a religious thing, didn't he? He was taking part in his understood standard religion, making an idol. Not everybody could make an idol, I think. So he thought he was special. So good works can seem good works to us. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even everyday kind of good works may be misunderstood depending on why we do them. Proverbs 21:4, and a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. I mean, you see a guy plowing his field and you say, there's a hardworking guy. He says, honey, I labored all day working for my family. I'm doing a good thing. But God sees a high look and a proud heart that takes everything that God has given and says, I'm doing this my own. I don't need God. The plowing of the wicked in hopes of a harvest that can only be sent by God is sin. The scriptures teach us that only works that are good, the only works that are good, are those done in obedience to the will of God. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. If you slavishly make yourself a servant to something, you become that slave. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience, that's the good works, unto righteousness. They are works done according to the principles of God. And those principles of God all focus on love. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Love is the motive. Good works is the outworking of that motive. They are done in the name of Christ. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name, fitting into the character of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. These are good works when they glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, he's talking there about their choices of eating and drinking, and I don't care if you don't like it or not, I'm going to do this. He said, that's not love. So whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In all of this, of course, let's run a straight line to Jesus. He's our example in all of this. Here's the point. He pleased not himself. Romans 15:3. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You see what it's saying there? He chose a life that was so close to God that the people who didn't like God didn't like him. This is why Paul says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If they are rejecting him, they will reject you. Jesus did seek to please, but he sought to please his Father. John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That should be our goal, and if that's the goal, then the works will be good. He did the will of his Father. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. I was doing my own will, thank you very much, when I was up in heaven. Sitting on a throne ruling the universe, I could do anything I wanted. I didn't come down here to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he did not say, well, look, God, I'll go so far, but that's it. He was obedient without limit. Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, as he did, as he came of age and understood what he was and who he was, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, something that the Christ had never known, even the death of the cross, the most horrible of deaths. Is the scripture profiting you? Do you catch the meaning of really good works? Works that are godlike. The believer is profiting from the scriptures concerning good works when, number five, he is taught the true source of good works. Where do these good works come from? What am I encouraging you to do? What am I encouraging you to depend on to get these good works going? All men are capable of doing works that they consider to be good. I understand that. Indeed, most of the world may consider them good. Ted Turner, I think it was, gave $1 million to the United Nations. And man, was he applauded. Wow, there's a liberal that really stands by what he believes in, you see. But the unsaved have no power to do good works in a spiritual way. They just can't. Romans 3:12, there is none that doth good. No, not one. They cannot do works that fulfill God's law, Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's incapable of it. They're incapable of any good work. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. You see, these good works don't come from us. You look at who you are, at the darkness still hiding in the shadows of your heart, and you'll recognize that the good works do not come from you. That your good works do not say, look how good I am. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of or from, coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The believer can please God with spiritual fruit. Why? Simply because he's connected to Christ. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye're the branches that go off that main vine. He that abideth in me, the vine that stays attached, and I, the vine in him, that sap connection thing, the same bringeth forth much fruit. We just bought some beautiful, beautiful big red grapes at Costco. Both of us read it, made sure it said seedless. We got it home. Somebody changed the labels. Now we get it home and it says seeded. Bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you pluck that little branch off the vine and set it in your window and say, make fruit for me. It says, I can't. I'm apart from the vine. We learn the source of truly good works is Christ alone. Is Christ in your heart? You have a chance of actual good works. For Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The focus there is on Christ, not you doing all things. Again, the believer is profiting from the scriptures concerning good works when, number six, he is taught the great importance of good works. If it was not important, Christ wouldn't have been known as a man who went about doing good. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is the most important thing? Glorifying God. What is your main way of accomplishing that? Doing good works that shine a good light on him. James 2:13-17, he gives this illustration. For he shall have judgment without mercy, receiving judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Amen, Brother Jeb? Brother Jeb has the gift of mercy. He looks at people and says, people that have no mercy have no reason to be alive. They're borrowing too much space on this earth. You show no mercy, you will have judgment without mercy. Because mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? The idea is, can that faith save him? That imagined faith that doesn't do good works? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. This is that human good works. This is what you think is good works. Story told of the man went to the Presbyterian church and said, I am in need of prayer. And the guy says, look, I'll give you $5. He went to the Baptist church and he says, I need $5. And the guy said, I'll pray with you. The Bible profits us when we are eager to do good works. It ought to just develop from us like the fruit of a healthy tree. Titus 2:14, Christ who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Chomping at the bit to do the things that are good. Why? To glorify God. And then the believer is profiting from the scriptures concerning good works when, number seven, he is taught the true scope of good works. How big is that arena? The scripture alone tells us of good works in every part of life. Read it, learn the examples. The first action in the Bible called a good work was building a wall. Nehemiah 2:18, Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work, rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. The next one that's called a good work was an act of sacrificial devotion to Christ. Matthew 26:10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? She just had an expensive box of ointment, sweet-smelling ointment. She broke open that seal and poured it out on Jesus. And they were grumbling. They said, wow, that could have been sold for a lot of money. We could give to the poor. Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. How many times somebody's sacrifice for God is looked at with scorn by others, saying, well, they could have done better for that. You know, they could have done something better with that. There are good works on the job. There's good works at home. Good works at recreation when you're with others. And there are good works in service to God and to man. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, this is pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. The scope here is rather unlimited, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we must constantly turn to the scriptures to be truly furnished unto all good works. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we ask that you might help us to dominate our thinking, not only of why we do good works, the source of those good works within us, but the very purpose for which we do them. We ask that you might help us to recognize that the whole purpose of our existence is to bring glory to thee. The gospel connects us to thee, and all of our Christian life is to bring glory to thee. We ask, Father, that you might help us not to turn the good works as an opportunity for people to applaud us, to think how wonderful we are. For there's not much wonderful about us except what you have done within us. And Father, we would like for people to see that. May they say we are people of compassion. May they say we are people who care about others, because we have seen thee, and thou hast loved us, and thou hast had compassion on us, and thou hast saved us from the penalty of our sin. We ask that you might help us then to look to thee, to do those things which are proper, convenient, the good works that emphasize you, with heads bowed, eyes closed. Is God dealing with you tonight to say, Pastor, I'm not doing well in this area? There's something I need to do. There's something I need to commit. I've let it all be about me. It's what I want. It's what I can accomplish. And I see that if I've given my heart to God, then I have to give my heart to others. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. May I be the one who does the good works and honors my Father in heaven. Father, then we thank you that we have the opportunity to look to your word and understand its truth, that we are to be a people known for our good works, zealous of good works, not because we're trying to earn our way to heaven. That's already done. Not we're trying to earn stars with you, for you look upon us as you look upon your Son. But dear God, we want to say thank you. Thank you for saving us when we had no reason to expect it at all. There was nothing good in us that you desired, but rather you saw our faults You saw our need, and you loved us. Father, we want to see the need in others and love them and show them what it means to be loved as God loves. I pray that you might touch our hearts with that importance, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.